Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work.
At the works of your hands, I sing for joy.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High.
To declare your steadfast love in the morning. To the music of the lute and the harp.
To the melody of the harp.
For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work.
At the works of your hands, I sing for joy.
How great are your works, O Lord.
Your thoughts are very deep.
The stupid man cannot know.
The fool cannot understand this.
That though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, but you, O Lord, for behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish.
All evildoers shall be scattered.
But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox.
You have poured over me fresh oil.
My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies.
My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants.
The righteous flourish like the palm tree. They are planted in the house of the Lord.
They flourish in the courts of our God.
They still bear fruit in old age.
They are ever full of sap and green.
To declare that the Lord is upright.
He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work.
At the works of your hands, I sing for joy.
The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah, who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapters 9 and 10. What shall we say then? That Gentiles, who did not pursue righteousness, have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For, being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How could they have missed it? They had everything. They had the law. These are the people of God, the people of Israel. They were the ones who had the stories of how God had created the world, how he had flooded it, but saved believing Noah and his family, how he had scattered the people from the Tower of Babel. And probably most importantly to them, to the people of Israel, how they had called their father Abraham, brought him to a land flowing with milk and honey, and promised him that land. And that's not even to speak of the Exodus and all of the other things that they had in the Pentateuch, their history. But they didn't just only have that. They didn't only have the history of their people. They had the prophets, too. They had people who were literally designated to come, were sent by God to the people to speak the actual word of God, the exact words that God wanted to have spoken to them at that time. They had it all. And, you know, to be fair to them, they pursued it. They tried to do it. Maybe they didn't try all the time, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, but you know as well that there were those bright spots. There were those times when they did repent of their sin, when they did repent of going after other gods. But ultimately, they failed. They did not achieve the righteousness that could have been theirs if they had simply followed the laws that God had given them. And Paul wonders in our text for today, why? How is that possible? How could they have missed it? And he gives the answer as well. They missed it because they did not pursue it by faith, but instead they pursued it as if it were based on works. In other words, they didn't understand. They didn't believe. And because they didn't believe, they couldn't possibly follow the law. You cannot follow the law of God if you are not a believer. You can sometimes sort of look like it, and in a lot of times that's where we see those bright places in the Old Testament, is we can see people who sometimes make other people do the right thing. Oftentimes you see a believing king We'll turn the kingdom around, try to course correct a little bit. But ultimately, they treated the covenant that God had given them, the contract that he had given them, the law that he had given them, as something that they could do all by themselves. And we must guard ourselves against tripping over the same stumbling stone that caught the toes of the Jews. So, let me ask you, where does your righteousness come from? That, after all, is what Paul is talking about in our text today, is this righteousness. And so perhaps we should start with, what is righteousness? Generally speaking, when I define this, I usually say that righteousness, or being righteous, is being right with God. It's kind of a nice little play on words there that can help it kind of stick in our minds. Being right with God. But to dive a little bit deeper into that, you can also think of it as a sort of status before God. Maybe even as a sort of status according to the law. Being righteous is a way of being presented to God. It is being rightly prepared to stand before him. And you're going to want to think about, in this context, God as a king and therefore a judge sitting on his throne. So when I ask the question, where does your righteousness come from? The question is, how do you stand before God? How are you able to do that? How have you come to be able to do that without dying? Without being convicted, without being condemned, without being damned? How do you stand before God? Is your righteousness something that you have to create for yourself? That's the stumbling stone that the Jews tripped over. They thought that by following the law, they were creating their own righteousness. They were creating their own standing in front of God. And again, that is the trap that we must avoid. Because you know the truth. You've heard it time and again. You know that even our best works are like dirty rags if they haven't been purified. That if we try to present ourselves before God using only our works, that our works are not up to that job. You know that it is impossible for us to create our own righteousness. We have fallen too far. We are too corrupted by sin. It is as if we were dead before God in that throne room. And a dead person cannot stand by himself. So then, this righteousness that we need has to come from somewhere else. We can't do it on our own. Even now that we have been saved, even now that we have been converted by our Lord and empowered by our Spirit, we can't do this by ourselves. We still need the Spirit. We need to be empowered by the Spirit, and it is only by him that our works can even vaguely be called good. And of course, then, that is where our righteousness comes from. Our righteousness comes to us from God himself. He is the one who has prepared us to stand before him. He is the one who has given us the robes that we need, given us the works that we need, given us everything that we need, so that when we come forward and stand in front of him in that throne room, in that courtroom, we can stand. But not because of what we've done, because of what he's done. This is what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That is where he earned for us the salvation that we need, the righteousness that we need to stand before our God. But again, perhaps we should ask this question of, well, how does he prepare us? How does he present us? And we can ask again the question of, does he do this through our works, or does he do it by faith? In other words, is it through your works that your faith, that your righteousness is strengthened? So one way we can think about this is, okay, God has saved us, we've been baptized, so everything that happened beforehand, all cleansed, all good. God has forgiven it all, washed it away, but now what? Now that we are Christians, do we now have to try and sort of work our way to stay saved? Do we have to try and work our way in a certain ranking system in heaven or something like that? Does it rely on our works now that we have been converted? Or is it still all by faith? And you know the answer to this question as well. As I said before, we cannot do it by ourselves. Our original sin is still there, still trying to drag us down. If we try to do anything by ourselves spiritually, all that we're doing is leading ourselves back into the grave. Whereas every word that we hear from the mouth of the Lord brings us closer to eternal life with him. Even now that we have been saved, it is still by faith that we are saved. It is still by faith that we are being sanctified. God has chosen to make us righteous, not through our pursuing it through our works, but instead through faith. This is the great stumbling block of the Christian, that we don't save ourselves, that we are not the heroes, that we can't save anyone else either, but that instead we are saved by God. It's all about what he has done for us. It is only in knowing that is the reason that we try to follow the law. We must guard against this. It's so easy to fall into this trap. Just listen about how Paul talks about the Jews. He says, it's his heart's desire and prayer that they may be saved, for they have a zeal for God. So when you think about the word zeal, you could probably sort of translate that nowadays to saying that they have a passion for God. They care. They feel it. But, Paul says, that's not enough. Having a passion, having a zeal for the Lord, feeling it isn't enough. Because they were ignorant of the righteousness of God. Nowadays, you even see sometimes people will try to kind of establish their own righteousness by virtue of how fervently they feel God. That's just another way of talking about works righteousness. It's just another way of seeking to establish their own righteousness and not submitting to God's righteousness, which Jesus earned for us on the cross. We must guard against this. We must guard against works righteousness, against thinking that it is our deeds that get us our salvation, thinking that we can present ourselves to God, that we can prepare ourselves to stand. We must instead simply trust in the work of Christ for us. And he has done everything. He's done it all. He came and became one of us. When he came, he was baptized and he took all of the sin of the world onto himself. That means all of your sin was put onto Jesus when he was baptized. He went out into the desert, faced the devil, defeated him. And 3 years later, came into Jerusalem to cries of hallelujah and hosanna, only for a few days later to be crucified on the cross. And again, he did this all for you. That was your punishment that he took. That was your condemnation that he took. That was your damnation that he took upon himself on that cross. And when he died, so did your sin. So did the eternal consequences of what you have done. And when he rose, he proved the wonderful truth to you that it is done. It is finished. Your salvation is accomplished. There is nothing more that you have to do. It's all already been done for you. This is the wonderful truth of your salvation and your righteousness. And you are free to trust in that righteousness, because it's better than anything you could possibly work up yourself. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.